You know, some people spend more time planning their vacations or even planning dinner than planning for retirement. But if you think about it, retirement, of course, one of the longest vacations you're ever going to take, if you call it a vacation. If you want to make it a great one, you have to plan for it. So joining us now is Larry Lovis. He is a financial advisor, author of Mapping Your Retirement Road, a no-nonsense guide to a financially better life. He's in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Hi there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
Why do we need another book about retirement? What were you thinking? It's way too much work.
It is a lot of work, but it came with passion, so it had to come out of me.
What was missing? What's missing from this discourse, do you think?
Well, that's a great question. And for me, after doing this for over 30 years, I just see the taking responsibility and really taking action to make sure that they have the retirement that they really want. So asking the really great questions about their personal life, what they want it to look like.
You say planning for retirement's easier when you know what to focus on. So what should people be focusing on?
Well, there's many things. For starters, I think people are vastly underestimating how long they're going to live and how long they're going to live healthily. And I believe that they are also underestimating how much that's going to cost. At least the fun things, the things that they really, really want to do.
Is this the 2,000-hour conundrum?
Well, time does equal money. So with retirement, there's going to be a lot of time on their hands, and I believe that's going to end up costing them more than they planned on if they don't prepare properly.
This is your phrase. It's the title of one of the chapters. Tell us what you mean by the 2,000-hour conundrum.
Well, I believe that people house a lot of their identity in their work. And so when all of a sudden they're now left with these 2,000 hours available to them, they have to fill them. And many times they fill them with activities that cost money that they didn't plan on. So I'm not so certain that this adage that you only need, or you're going to need less money in retirement than you thought. My wife and I just took an extended vacation for the very first time, and I commented to her. I said, I can't believe how much money we went through just as a function of time. We're not having to put our 8, 9, 10, 12 hours in at work, and those hours need to get filled. I guess it's just because of us. We don't plan on sitting on the porch and watching the world go by. There's nothing wrong with that, but we intend on live active lifestyles.
One of the exercises that you talk about in the book is having readers write down one of their best achievements along with three behaviors or actions that resulted in said achievement. What's the intention of this exercise, and what have you seen people glean from it?
Well, the first part is that the purpose of the exercise is for them to realize and to relate it to their own life that taking responsibility feels wonderful. And so if they can look and say, they're responsible for the retirement that they truly want, that they have the power to control that through the planning process. So, and what they glean from that is that taking responsibility feels wonderful because they're in control of their own lives. So that's why I always, when I'm doing speaking engagements, I'm asking people to revert back to maybe their childhood or some great activity, and what did they do to make sure that that happened? I don't think that their retirement's any different than that.
I did a control F in your manuscript to see where you covered fees. Given you're a financial advisor, this must be something that clients talk a lot about. Certainly there's been tons of headlines on this particular topic. How do you engage in this question, knowing you're not objective in this front? It's how you pay your mortgage.
Well, with respect to fees for a financial advisor, first off, I think you need to have somebody that you trust implicitly, that understands you. And the way I approach fees for clients is that any service that they feel that they are not capable of handling, they're going to look for a professional. And they're not necessarily going to look for necessarily the cheapest. They're going to look for the one with the best value. And so through my practice, we try to provide the best value possible and then provide that advice to make sure that we're focused, number one, on the client's goals. So this, fees are very important. But I have yet to see a client or anybody that I know of not retire comfortably because they paid for financial advice.
How do you reconcile the challenge that if you're paying a commission-based mutual fund-oriented fee, which could run you 2.4%, that's going to eat into such a dramatic amount of your return?
Well, I always remember a couple of years ago, the number one mutual fund in Canada was a company that had the highest fees.
When you say number one, do you mean in assets or do you mean in performance?
In performance. It was the number one in performance, but yet it had what I thought was a very high fee. And I think the important thing for clients to know is they need to focus on their goals are being achieved and that they're getting really quality advice. And so I think people are looking for price compression because they may be only getting investment selection advice. And I don't think that's enough. They need to have a full suite of financial planning, which means tax planning, estate planning, education. So the financial advisor that's really earning their fee is the ones that's wrapping their arms around the entire family and basically quarterbacking them to their retirement success.
And providing financial advice versus investment advice or product selection advice.
That you and I can agree on. Absolutely.
What are some of the other questions that people need to be asking themselves?
Well, I guess that depends on, I think the key thing is what type of lifestyle do they want to lead? My wife is a life coach, and she has a great line. She said, you know, think about what you want to achieve and failure is not possible. So although you don't want to be getting them into dreamland, you want to keep them in reality, what do they really want to achieve so that we can cost it out? The other thing that we need to talk about, and this happens as people get a little bit older and deeper into their retirement, is what about if they want to stay in their own home?
Right.
What is healthcare going to cost them in order for them to achieve their longevity goals as well?
You share an anecdote from the very beginning of your career where you gave someone some very straightforward feedback about what it would take for them to achieve their goals. That didn't go so well for you in terms of landing that client. Have you found more nuance in your ability to deliver that message to clients? Or a lot of advisors just skip it. They just don't engage. They don't give people the tough love that is required to illustrate the disconnect between goals, dreams, and reality.
Well, that's a great question. And I think I may be too blunt of an instrument, maybe for some people. But my role, and I think advisors' role, is to tell the unvarnished truth. Without that, I think people with too many advisors trying to compete either on price or on performance, I think those things are fleeting. And people really appreciate when they've been given the truth about what behaviors they need to activate in order to get to their... Because the ultimate achievement is the achievement of their goals. It doesn't really matter. I don't think clients really care what the investment is. I think they only care about what it's going to do for them.
Interesting. Well, Larry, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Nice talking to you.
Larry Lovis is the author of Mapping Your Retirement Road, a no-nonsense guide to a financially better life. He was in Thunder Bay, Ontario.